Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
You can't hear me. Yeah, you can hear me now. Oh, it's so dark out there. I can't see any of you. Who am I talking to? It's Levi. Am I Levi? Hi, Levi. I guess I shouldn't move this. I'll leave that there. Hi, I am Hudson. Good evening, everyone. How was your day? My day was good. Thanks for asking. Are we all excited to get into the Word together? Yes. Well, turn to Hebrews 4 if you have your Bibles. Does anybody remember what we talked about this morning? Yes, shout it out if you know it. Wise was last night. Holy King, right. Do we remember what holy means? Set apart, yep. As his whole, the whole of God's character, right? So Jesus is the Holy King, and so we should worship him for that. Tonight, I first want you to imagine something with me. Let's say your sibling, brother, sister, fill in the blank, comes home from school one day crying, just bawling, because they failed a test that they'd taken that morning. They'd spent 2 weeks studying for it. It was this big test. They needed to do super good. They thought they were going to go well. They failed it, and they come home crying. In that, when they explain that story to you, you are going to feel sad with them, right? Yeah, you will feel a little bit sad with them because you understand, because you've probably not done as well on a test as you've wanted to in the past. And so you feel a sadness with them. Let's take it a step above that. Let's say one of your classmates' parent dies and they come to class and they're clearly very sad. They're going through grief. They're very depressed and they're so sad, and you can tell. When you have a conversation with them, you're going to feel sad with them, right? Because you could imagine, maybe you haven't experienced that, but you could imagine what that would be like, or maybe you have. But you can imagine what that's like, and so when you see their sadness, you feel sad with them. What is a word to describe this? Empathy. Perfect. Which empathy means the ability to understand or share the feelings of another. It's this idea of like putting yourself in someone's shoes, right? So they're going through a super sad time, and so when they share it with you, you feel the same, some of the same sadness, okay? And I would argue that there are kind of two levels of empathy. There's a starting level where maybe you haven't experienced the same thing, but you can imagine it. So let's take the example of your friend's mom dies. My parents have not died, so I can't fully understand what my friend is going through, but I can imagine what that's like. But let's say we have Billy over here, and Billy's dad died 4 years ago. When he talks to our friend, he is able to feel the same sadness because he has gone through it in the past. So he has a more full empathy and a more complete empathy because he's experienced the same things. Does that make sense? Yes. So today, we're going to talk about how Jesus is the empathetic king. And I'm going to argue that Jesus has a full and complete understanding of what we experience in this life. So if you remember from Monday, we talked about how Jesus was incarnate. Do you remember what that means? Yes. 100% human, right? Because it's God became man, right? So he's both God and man. So Jesus, in becoming a human, experienced the same things that we go through, right? So the pain when you skin your knee, Jesus has felt that same pain, right? The pain when one of your friends betrays you, or when someone lies about you or speaks badly behind your back, Jesus experienced that too. And when you feel tired or exhausted or so hungry, Jesus fasted for 40 days. He knows what hunger feels like. And so we should trust our King and go to Him with our struggles because He understands and has gone through the same things. So, are you in Hebrews 4? Yes. All right. Let me read Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence and find grace to help us in our time of need. Can anybody tell me what high priest means? Anybody have an idea? Yes. High priest? Correct. He's the top priest. Can anybody tell me what the priests did in the Old Testament? Any ideas? Yeah. Correct. They taught the people about God. What else? They worked in the temple behind you. Yes. Correct. So the priests held this position of leadership in the church, which was the temple at that time, and went in between the people and God, right? So they were the people that that did all of the sacrifices. They were the people that prayed for the people to God, right? So the high priest would pray for Israel to God, and they were also the people that brought the word of God to the people. So they filled in this go-between position. And I have an illustration for this, so let's pull this picture up on the screen. Who's strong in this room? Anybody, any strong people? All right, strongest person in this room, do you think you can fit the three-prong extension cord into the two-prong outlet? If you tried with all of your might, Abram, do you think you can do it? No, you're stupid. You can actually do that. No. So, as hard as you try, you are never going to get a connection between an extension cord and a two-prong outlet, right? Because they just don't fit. You'll just cut it off. No, it doesn't work. So in the same way, let's pretend that we are the extension cord, okay? And Jesus is the outlet, okay? Or God is the outlet, sorry. We're the extension cord, God is the outlet. And we desire to be in a relationship with God and to be connected to God, right? But we can't do that. Why? Because we have a third prong, okay? The third prong is sort of like our sin, right? Because God doesn't have a third prong, because God doesn't have sin, but we do have a third prong. So we can't be in connection or relationship with God. Now, what if I bring in one of these? What is this? An adapter. So do you think Abram could use an adapter to connect an extension cord and an outlet? Yes. Because it turns the three-prong into a two-prong, okay? Let's get this next diagram up here. What if Jesus is like an adapter that connects us to God, right? Without the adapter, we can't know God, okay? Because we have sin in our life. But if Jesus connects us to God, He's the go-between between us and God, and He takes care of our sin problem, right? He takes away our sin so that when God sees us, He sees Jesus. He doesn't see us. He sees the two-prong without sin, right? Maybe it's sort of a silly illustration, but that was what the priests did in the Old Testament, right? They were this go-between, right? Because they didn't have Jesus yet. But what's the bad thing about humans? We die. We die and we're sinful. Is Jesus alive today? Yes. Is Jesus alive today?
Yes.
Yes. Did Jesus sin? No. So we have a high priest, Jesus, a go-between between us and God, who is alive, who didn't sin, and who is perfect, okay? So we, and that's the way that we can get to God, right? So, verse 15, let's get back to this idea of empathy. Can Jesus actually understand what you're going through, maybe you're asking this question. I'm going through pain, or I've experienced some pretty terrible things. Can Jesus actually understand what I'm going through? Let's read verse 15. Can you look down with me? Let's read verse 15 of chapter 4 of Hebrews. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So this first phrase, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize. It's a double negative, which is annoying grammar, but it means the opposite. So it means we do have a high priest who can sympathize with us, right? We don't have one who is unable. We do have one who is able. And why is he able? If you continue in the verse, right there, the phrase in the middle, it says, we have a high priest who has been tempted in every way just as we are. You probably remember the story in the Gospels, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Mark 1, where the story of Satan taking Jesus into the wilderness to tempt him, right? And he spends 40 days tempting him, and he tempts him towards pride and towards rejection of God, right? And this is a highlight of Jesus' humanity, right? He came to earth and he experienced the real deal, right? Just as we do. Now, you might say to me, well, Jesus never sinned, so he doesn't actually understand what I'm going through, right? Yeah, he was tempted, but I'm tempted way harder because I actually sin when I get tempted, right? It's way worse for me. Let me give you a story maybe to help understand that. Let's say that there's a cookie jar on the counter, and you're sitting at the dining room table doing your homework, and mom's like, hey, I'm going to run to the grocery store to grab something. Don't eat a cookie, okay? And she's gone for like 30 minutes. You're sitting at the dining room table just looking at this jar of cookies, right? You can already taste it in your mouth. You're looking at the fridge. Maybe you're going to grab some milk to dip it in. You are just, so for 30 minutes, you're just sitting there like, I really want a cookie. I want a cookie so bad, right? What happens if like 5 minutes in, you grab a cookie and eat it? The temptation's gone. If you 5 minutes in, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to eat it. Boom, temptation's gone. You haven't experienced it. But what if you don't grab a cookie? The temptation keeps going. And you have to keep experiencing it for the full 30 minutes until mom gets back, and then you can't take one anymore. So Jesus never sinned, which means he experienced the full extent of temptation to the very end of it. So the reality is he's experienced more temptation than we are. Think of a moment where you withstood temptation. It would have been easier to give in, right? Jesus never gave in to temptation, so he truly understands what we're going through. So, first point for today, Jesus understands because he experienced the same temptations and struggles. I also want to make a comment here about the suffering of Jesus. Not only was he tempted, but he suffered here on earth. He was mocked, ridiculed, beaten, tortured, accused of things he didn't do, and in the end, killed for nothing. He has gone through everything that you have gone through, whether that's physical pain. Jesus has experienced the full extent of physical pain. Whether it's emotional pain, Jesus was accused of the most atrocious things. He was neglected and unloved and rejected by all people. And then he was also experienced intense spiritual pain, right? He experienced the full wrath of God for the sins of the world. So any sort of like shame or maybe when you sin and you feel really bad for sinning, Jesus experienced that same thing because the fact is he experienced the shame for your sin on the cross. So Jesus understands because he experienced the same temptations and struggles that we experience. So be encouraged. Jesus understands you. He sympathizes with you. He knows what you're going through. Second point, Jesus understands, so we should go to him with our temptations and struggles. Let's read verse 16. Look down with me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What is our response when we see and know that Jesus sympathizes with us and empathizes with us and is able to understand? What should we do? What should be our response? What does the verse say right at the beginning? Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Jesus is sitting on the throne as our King. And he's inviting us to come to him so we can and should come to him with confidence because we know that he understands. We should approach him with confidence in our time of need because he's offering to help us. So what does this mean for us today? When you pray, do you know that Jesus understands you? Yeah? Do you know that he understands what you're going through? And if you do, should you be praying more? Do you go to God with your needs and your hurts and your worries and your pain? Because he truly is the only one who can fully understand what you're going through. And then let's read the second half of verse 16 again. So we're approaching the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is a beautiful promise. Jesus promises that when we come to him with our needs and our pain and our struggles and our worries and our temptations, he promises for mercy and grace in time of need. First, let's consider temptation. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. When you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can endure it. So call upon the Lord in temptation. When you're tempted to be mean to someone, when you're tempted to be ungrateful, when you're tempted to steal, come to the Lord with that and ask for help because he promises to help us. Secondly, trials, tribulations, struggles. Let's read from 1 Peter here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He will restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. This is a promise of strength. It's not a promise to remove suffering, right? After you have suffered for a little while, there's a purpose for suffering that you're experiencing. There's a purpose for pain. We probably are not going to understand it right now. In the moment, it's really hard to understand. But what is the promise? Strength, firmness, steadfastness, right? This is encouragement from God to come to him when you're experiencing struggle, pain, persecution. When someone speaks negatively behind your back or accuses you of something you haven't done, he's going to strengthen you and restore you, right? When you have experienced the loss of a loved one, maybe, he's going to strengthen you and restore you. When there's just really tough days, do you come to the Lord for strength and restoration? This is one of my favorite passages, Hebrews chapter 4, because it speaks of how Jesus knows us, and it speaks about how he goes before the Father with our needs and our desires and our pain, and he wants to comfort us. So my question is for you today. One, do you believe that Jesus understands you? Do you truly believe that? Because I often, in the moment, will be like, God doesn't really understand. Like, this is a really tough struggle that I'm going through. He can't really understand, can he? No, he can understand. Do you believe that? Second question, do you need to bring your temptations or your struggles to the only one who can fully understand and the only one who is able to strengthen you? Do you need to bring those to God? Are you bringing those to God? That's a daily thing. That's an in-the-moment thing. Do you need to do that? Or maybe is verse 16 a promise that you need to cling to? This promise for grace and mercy when we come to Jesus, is that something you need to cling to and hold firm to? We're going to sing right after this, All I Have is Christ. And I think it's a really helpful song just to speak of the relationship that we have with Jesus. So maybe it's using that song just to worship God because he knows us and we can know him and we have Christ. Even when this world is hard, when we're experiencing struggles and temptation, we have Christ. So let me read verse 16. I'm going to pray, and the worship team will come up, and we'll sing that together. Let me just read verse 16 one more time. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Would you pray with me?
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.